My name is Steve Pausch. If you have not met you before, I've been here for a little over a year. We have Pastor Jump, which is still so hard for me to say because I knew Pastor Jump and Julie when they were in high school. I was their youth pastor. So if I slip and say Justin today, he'll have to forgive me on the recording. But that's how I've known them for many years. We had that opportunity to be... they were in the church where we did youth work, and so I've known them for a long time. And Pastor Jump is out of town on the west coast at a wedding today. Julie and the kids are running around, and Justin's parents are here, and they're taking care of that. So he asked me to preach about this a while ago, and I said, well, I'm in the middle of a sermon series. As you know, he's doing a sermon series on Cedar Point, so I don't want to jump outside of that. So I said, well, let me see if I can jump in and share a part of your sermon series, and we're doing that. And so we're also going to talk about some things about Cedar Point. But I want to brag a little bit. We have been leading, having the opportunity, my wife and I, to lead a small group here in this church. And I will tell you, if you're in part of one of the small groups, that is a good thing. But we have the best small group. That's right. Our group is just the best one. It has nothing to do with me. It's just all those people who only had Monday night available, and they ended up coming in our group. But if you did not get the opportunity to sign up for a small group, and if that opportunity comes as we try to expand here, I want you to know you need to sign up. It has been a very rewarding thing. I can promise you that whatever night you do pick, it'll probably be a messy day before you get there, because I think Satan wants to kind of keep us from going to small group. But it has been a privilege to get to know the people in our small group. And we have really enjoyed that. So I would tell you, if you get that opportunity when we expand a little bit, I would like you to jump in and do that. The other day I was in a store, and I don't know if you've ever had to run into the store and you have to get something right away, and you've got your stuff, and then you get behind someone who has the coupon book, right? And this one happened to be like double coupons, and so the lady's going through all these things, and, you know, I have this problem of sometimes showing my frustration out loud, so I tried not to do that. I tried to stand there, and I tried not to breathe heavy, and I tried not to tap on the counter. And then I just started thinking, well, double coupons, you know, that's a good thing. That means you're getting, like, twice as much as you paid for. And then I started to think about church here every week when Pastor Jump preaches. We usually get twice as much sermon as what you paid for, right? Now, I will do my best today to end on time, all right? I kid him every week about the fact that he goes long. And so we do have what I'm going to call a double coupon pastor. That's what we have. We get twice as much sermon every week. We as a family just talk about, we know that at the morning service, he will at least be done by 10:30. So just sit still and listen to it. And it's very funny for me because when he was in high school, he hardly said a lot. He was a deep thinker. He didn't talk a lot. And I'm not sure what changed because now that we get to sit in church here. But it is a privilege to us to see where he's come, just to have him bring the Word of God to us every week, and it's a blessing. So we are going to talk about Cedar Point, and this week will be no different. And if you've gone to Cedar Point this time of the year, or you see the commercials or you hear the things on TV, this is what they call Hallow Weekends. So in October, they change everything around. Last year, if you remember, Pastor Jump talked about Hallowed Weekends, and he made it a spiritual thing. I'm going to talk about spooky things today. That's where we're going to go. And so the Hallow Weekends, if you see it, they change the directions, they change the things that are going on. They've got spooky things in the day and spooky things at night. And that's what the whole Hallow Weekends part is about. And so that's what I'm going to talk about. So today I'd like you to open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, if you would. And that's page 1020 if you have a pew Bible. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. I will read that. If you've got it, read along. If not, just listen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's kind of spooky stuff. What that says to me is the things that we see around us are not only the things that are around us. There's a whole lot of other things happening, which is the same thing if you go to a haunted house or a place like that. There's things that are happening that we don't know what's going on. There's things around every corner. There's stuff that we can't see. There's things we don't understand. And Scripture tells us today that that's exactly what is happening as we're trying to do what this thing is that we call life, what God has called us to. There are things that are happening all around us. So to me, that's kind of spooky. We're supposed to put on things. We're supposed to stand tall. We're supposed to do all these things to protect us from the wiles of the devil. And what does that look like? And so as I was looking through the Scriptures, I found several more things, stories as we go through there that are kind of spooky. And before we get there, on behalf of that passage I just read, that we know the devil is trying to get us, I'm going to pray. Would you join me? Father God, we ask that you would come and join us here today. Jesus, that you would sit in a pew. Pick whichever one you want or someone's not, but that you would join us here and that you would show us your truth. Father, I pray today that anything that I have prepared would be from you, that anything that I want to say would be left out and it would come as your voice. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the way you protect us, watch over us, and give us Jesus. We just thank you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So I found some spooky stories in the Scripture as I looked through it. And I'm just going to read a bunch of you. We're not going to look them all up right now. But here's some of the stuff that I looked up, I found, and there's a whole lot more than this. I found in the Bible that there were kings killing babies. I found that there were angels killing babies. There were angels killing people. There were babies floating down a river in a basket to avoid being killed. These are all spooky stories when I think of them. There were babies that were threatened to be cut in two to solve a dispute. We have ghosts. We have good ghosts. We have bad ghosts. We have holy ghosts. Those things are all in through the Scripture. We've got people coming back to life. We've got rivers turning into blood. We've got billions of insects eating everything. We have long periods of darkness. All these things sound like something that they could host at Cedar Point. We have a story of frogs being everywhere. One of the plagues, they were frogs was everywhere. It talks about frogs in the bed, frogs in your pot, frogs everywhere that you go. You go to cook and there's a frog in that pot. And then when the leader was asked, when would you like me to remove the frogs? His answer was, well, tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Do you like sleeping in that bed with the frog that's crawling around? There's spooky things that we see all through Scripture. We've got giants all through the Bible. We've got a story of a man named Absalom who's trying to take over his father's throne and wants to do all that. He's riding, trying to get away from the people who are chasing him. He has long flowing hair, which I am very jealous about and know nothing about. He has long flowing hair. He rides under a tree. His hair gets stuck in the tree. His horse rides out from under him. They catch him and kill him. That's like some kind of thing that you would see on a Disney movie for kids. It's a spooky, scary kind of thing. Okay? We've got people bathing on their roof, and then there's a king peeping on them across the street. There are all kinds of spooky, weird things. We have walls that fall down just because people walk around them seven times and blow a trumpet. Now, we know there's more to it than that, but how do we know exactly what's going on? We have cities that are burning to the ground because fire is falling from heaven. We have people turning into salt. We have people turning into beasts. We have talking donkeys. This is all in the Bible. And we just think it's like a good little book we should maybe read once in a while. It is fascinating. I would tell you, pick it up and read it. Study it. Find out all the things that are in there. It applies to everything that we do. I've got people riding away on a chariot and not dying. We got a guy who just takes off on a chariot, floats in the sky, goes to a heaven. How does that happen? We don't see those kind of things today, but that's all in the Bible. We've got bones coming to life. We have a big fish swallowing people, then spitting them out on a beach. That's gross. And then he walks into town, and everyone looks at him like, hey. I mean, these are spooky, weird, kind of crazy things. We have seas separating so millions can walk through on the dry land. And that's just a name. A few of the spooky things that I found in the scriptures. And we're going to look up a few more in just a moment. So I was looking for some things at home, and I found some things that people might be afraid of. And I found this. This was at the new Super Duty Weight Watchers. That way he was standing outside. Masks. Masks are one of the things that we're afraid of, you know. We had a lady that lived next to us. There was an older lady who was a kid. I'm not proud of this, but I'll tell you, her name was Mrs. Smith. We would put on a mask and we would go over there and she would run around in a circle. Why is it when you're scared, you don't go anywhere? My brother would run in place when we would scare him. Why is it that you do that? But we are scared. So we would put a mask and we would do that. All right, some of the other things that we sometimes are afraid of are these things. My mother can't even watch a snake on TV because it scares her. All right, so we're afraid of snakes. All right, I've got a spider. Some people are afraid of spiders. I got a whole bunch of spiders if you want one. We got one of these things in here. You know, people are afraid of a lot of things that are different. You know, I brought this. I brought with me today. Oh, see if I can get her out. Oh, here you go. I brought my mother-in-law. Oh, no. I meant to say I brought this from my mother-in-law's house. Sometimes you just say things that you don't mean to say. Don't get that on the tape. That's a problem for me because I have an amazing mother-in-law, and there are so many good mother-in-law jokes that you just can't tell. All right? Because it just doesn't apply. She's very good. And don't you guys tell her that I said that. Just be quiet. So this is a Grimm's Complete Fairy Tales book. From where you're sitting, it might look like a Bible. Right, it's even got the gold stuff on the side you see sometimes, right? It might look like a Bible. But this is a fairy tale book. These are things that are made up. The difference in where I'm coming from today, and as I look at this, this is not a fairy tale. This is the Bible. This is God's word. This is what he has spoken to us. I believe everything in here is what God wanted to be in here. He inspired the people to write it, and they put it in here for us. So when I look at this, it's not just a book. It's not just full of stories. It's not just a lot of those things. To me, this is what God wants to speak to me today. And so as we go through some of these stories, that's how I look at it. That is God's book. So I want to think about the roller coaster idea. Justin's been going through this series talking about roller coasters at Cedar Point. And then there is this thing about a roller coaster. There's this time, if you've ever ridden one, you know the anxiety for the first time as you're going up whatever hill or as you're sitting in a seat or as they strap you down, okay? That's just one of those things to know. When they strap you into something, there's a reason, okay? And your heart rate starts to go up and you start to sweat and you start to do all that. And so there's a fear that starts to grip you. But that, for some reason, is a good fear. But the same things start to happen to our body that happen in bad fear. It's called the flight response, all right? And so, but the problem is that's why they put those harnesses on you, so that you can't flight. As your body starts, your heart rate goes, your blood pressure goes up. You want to try to figure out how to get out of that situation. And so the roller coasters are that same kind of thing. And so that's why they do it. So what I found is I found a whole list of different kind of fears. Now, this was in Reader's Digest. I don't feel the same about Reader's Digest as I do with the Bible, but it's usually pretty good. I've trusted it since I was a little kid. So here's what they call these. These are some fears. The glossophobia is a fear. That is the fear of public speaking, they say. That seems to be the number one fear of most people. And I think the worship team thought I had that today because I got here about 10 minutes before we started. They thought I wasn't coming. Arachnophobia, you probably know that one. That's the fear of spiders. You've got claustrophobia, the fear of confined spaces. Acrophobia, the fear of heights. And this one surprised me that it was in the top 10. It's called kinomartophobia. That's the fear of zombies. I mean, we know the zombies, but there are so many TV shows right now about zombies and movies. What, I mean, we know that that's not true, although we may find out something different as we look in Scripture. Okay, we have astrophobia, that's the fear of thunder and lightning. Dentophobia, that's the fear of dentists. Okay, then we have ophidiophobia, that's the fear of snakes. I don't know how they get that out of that one. Okay, and then I found some other ones that were really kind of weird. These are not in the top 10. This is called ablutophobia. If you know, if someone has this today in here, you would know it, all right? That's the fear of bathing. Arithmophobia, that's the fear of numbers. This is called chaetophobia. I think I have this one. It's the fear of hair. Then they have one, this was interesting. It's called genuphobia. That's the fear of knees. I mean, what do you do if you fear knees? I mean, how? And then the last one was plutophobia. And there's a bunch of men who wish that their wives had more of this. That's called the fear of money. And especially as we move into that time of year. So here's what I found. It said, why do people ride roller coasters? I looked it up and wanted to know, and here's what the answer I found. It said, a roller coaster ride is a legal, generally safe, and relatively cheap means of experiencing a natural high. So I guess until they make marijuana legal in Ohio, that's why we have Cedar Point, right? I mean, so they say it's very similar to why people go out and try to indulge in drugs. It's a very similar kind of thing, but it is a natural thing. Our body goes through the same issues. So that's why people are willing to stand in line for 2 hours for less than a two-minute ride on a roller coaster. It does something to your body that's considered itself to be a natural high, which is the same with going to a horror movie. Now, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, all right, but I bet you there's some people in here who like to watch horror movies. I am not really one of those people. I'm not sure why. I used to watch them sometimes when I was a kid. When I was a child, they had this guy named Goulardi who had movies on TV. Some of you remember that weird kind of thing, right? And so you'd watch that, and then you couldn't sleep. And then, I mean, so I try not to watch any of those kind of movies. But I think it's the same in all horror movies. And so what I did is let's look up the ways that you can survive if you were in a horror movie. Okay? If you're in a horror movie, these are the things you need to do, all right? Don't ever investigate a noise or say the words, I'll be right back. If you want to survive a horror movie, don't say that because you won't be, okay? Next, it's always look behind you because something is always behind you and you can survive a horror movie. Okay, the other one I thought was interesting says, don't watch a horror movie when you are in a horror movie. You ever seen the one where the teenagers are watching the movie and the next thing you know, some guy's breaking through the door, okay? Here's one that's probably a good one for all of us, but especially in a horror movie, make sure your car is tuned up and full of gas. Okay, for whatever reason, they run out and it just cranks for 10 minutes while someone is pounding on the window. Okay, next one, stay together and don't run to the basement or attic where there is only one door. Okay, I'm going to go downstairs and then I can't get out of the basement. Okay, here's another one for us to believe. If your child says they see something, believe them and call the realtor. Okay, sell the house. Because there's this thing called a disclosure statement. So if you go find out what's wrong with the house, you have to sign a disclosure statement that it's haunted. Just as soon as they say they saw something walking in the house, just sell it right there. Okay, next thing, do not wear high heels or shoes you can't run in. Okay. Another one that's really good, and I like this one, don't go to prom or high school parties. That's where most of the horror movies, okay? And then the last one is always assume the bad guy is still alive. Don't ask, is he still alive? Okay, assume he's coming after you. So that's somewhat of what our culture is, and we're all about fear. And this time of the year, it's trying to get the spookiest costume. One of the things I was going to do today is, and I asked my small group the other night, and they told me we should have done it, I was going to have somebody dressed as the Grim Reaper just walk up right into it and just sit down right over here in the front. But I wasn't sure if we're ready for that at this point. Maybe some other time we'll do some of those kind of things, but we're not there. So Let's open our Bibles and let's look at some of these stories that I found here today. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 5. That's on page 766 if you've got the Pew Bible. And this is a longer one of the ones we're going to read today. But this would be one of the scary stories as far as I can see. This would get me. So we'll read this one, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Daniel chapter 5, 766. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver, which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem, be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden and silver vessels which had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So, to get the picture here, all right, you got to know a little background. They are under siege. The enemy is outside of their walls. The enemy is ready to come and destroy them. But they have believed so much that they've built such a big, strong city that it can't be penetrated. So they're having a party. So the enemy is at their gates. They're having a party. They're drinking it up. They're having a grand time. I'm not sure what they had in the cups, but they went back and they got the holy cups that they had taken from Israel. The great things that are there. And now they said, let's fill these up and let's drink from them. They had conquered Israel before, and they took some of this as their plunder. And so now this is their kind of way of celebrating the fact that they destroyed God's kingdom. They destroyed the Israelites. They took them, and they did all that. So they're trying to celebrate that, a way of just blaspheming to God. If you haven't read much of the Bible, I'll tell you, that's not a good thing to do, okay? Don't make a toast to God saying, hey, we beat you. I think he's going to win when that comes on, okay? Then verse 5, immediately the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand, and the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed. All right, I thought that was an interesting verse. The king's color changed. All right, imagine you're sitting in a room with a bunch of friends. You're drinking grape juice, all right? You're in a room with a bunch of friends. You're drinking grape juice, and this hand appears with nothing else attached to it and begins to write on the wall. I believe our color might change too. We might get very pale. We might be very scared of what's going on. And then this begins to write a message on the wall. All right, so you're celebrating with all your buddies. You're trying to show how great you are. You're rubbing it in God's face as you did this, and this hand appears on the wall. And like so many places in the story, nobody can tell what the hand says. All right, so it writes some things up there. Nobody knows what it says. So they have to try to figure it is. They bring in all the soothsayers and all the whatevers and all the magicians and all them, and none of them can figure out what it says. And so then somebody remembers this guy named Daniel, who used to be able to do this. All right. Belshazzar is several kings removed from Nebuchadnezzar when all those kind of things happen. So he's several kings removed. He's probably the grandson in this situation. And so he is removed from that, but somebody remembers that Daniel can interpret the dreams and Daniel can interpret these kind of things, and so they bring Daniel in. All right, so here you are. You're brought before the king, and you read what's on the wall, and it's not a good message. And so Daniel's faced with, well, do I tell him the truth, or do you tell him it's a great thing? But Daniel tells him the truth, and what's written on the wall is that you're going to be done tonight. This is it. You've blasphemed God, and he's going to remove you. And then it goes on, and I'm not going to read all of it now just for the sake of time, because I already told you I got to end on time. And so basically what it says is that this is it. Your kingdom's over. You've been a jerk. That's what God says. You've been a jerk. Not really. And then that very night, they're overrun, and that king is destroyed. So to me, that was a very spooky story to think of just a hand. But then we think that God has made everything that we know. But a hand writes on the wall, and it goes from there. And if I don't have my watch, I can't know how to end on time. Okay, if you would turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation 9, that's page 1077. And we're going to read verse 1 through 10. Now, this is the book of Revelation, which talks about the end of the earth, the ends of time, when God is going to return, Jesus will be back, and all those things. And so this is how this goes. We'll go 1 through 10. I'll read. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key of the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any other green growth or any tree, but only those of mankind who have not the seal of God upon their foreheads. There's a horror movie for you. Okay? They were allowed to torture them for 5 months. So not only are they allowed to get you, now there's a time period for 5 months. I don't know why the 5 months are there. I couldn't find a real good reason. So you can be tortured by a scorpion-like thing for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torture was like the torture of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death will fly from them. In appearance, the locusts were like horses arrayed for battle. Just picture this. I mean, have you ever seen it? The locusts are similar to the cicada things we hear over so many years that come out of the ground and they make that funny noise. Now they're like dressed like horses, all right? But they've got all the armor on. Okay, so here is the locust that we find in the Bible. In appearance, the locusts were like horses arrayed for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Now, you probably come across some people that you thought before might have looked like a locust, but their faces were like human faces, their hair like women's hair. This is a weird-looking thing. It's in the Bible. It's right here. And their teeth like lion's teeth. They had scales like iron breastplates, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and their power of hurting men for 5 months lives in their tails. And we thought this was all like Jesus loves me, feeds a bunch of people. These are the things that it's really all about. But the thing that's amazing is it's in the Bible. It tells us what it's going to be like. It says, you know what? You don't have to deal like this. Okay? If you know who Jesus is and if you choose to follow him, that would never happen to you. If you have that mark, you would be all right. If Jesus' blood covers you, you'd be fine. But for some reason, we don't often believe what we read. Get another story for you. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. That is in page 871. Another spooky story. Mark chapter 5, they came to the other side of the sea to the country of the Gerasenes, and when he had come out of the boat, there he met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been bound with fetters and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the fetters he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. So here's a man living in the caves, possessed by spirits. When they try to chain him down, he breaks the chains. He's like the strongest guy going. All right, he'd make a good WWF wrestler or something like that. All right, he's got it all going. Okay, no one can keep him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" So this guy had been doing this for a long time. People had gone by. People had seen him. Now Jesus comes up, gets out of the boat, and this man knows who he is. He worships him. Starts to follow, starts to believe, knows that there's something going on, all right? It says, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So it's not just a man. It's someone who's got so many spirits in him that he says there's many of us inside. There's many spirits, all right? They're all breaking the chains. It's all this. And so we can picture that as a scary movie. But it's not scary to Jesus because he knows all these things, okay? And he begged him eagerly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, "Send us to the swine, let us enter him." So they want to come out of this man. This man wants to be clean. They know that Jesus has the power to heal him and send the spirits out, but they just don't want to float off. Now I wonder, were there sheep somewhere on the hillside? Were there cows? Were there goats? Why does a spirit want to go into a pig? It's interesting. But Jesus sends that whole legion of spirits into a whole herd of pigs. And if you've ever read the story, you know what happens next. The pigs run off the hill, jump into the water, and they're all drowned, which I don't know how that fits in the whole story. And I couldn't find the answer. So the spirits go into the pigs jump off of there and drown. Now where do the spirits go? All right. The best thing I could tell is Discovery Shark Week. That's when sharks became afterwards. I don't know. But somehow we lose that whole thing. But that is a spooky thing. If you're standing there and you ride over with Jesus and you see what's happening, here comes this guy out of the hills. He's breaking chains. He's got all these demons in. And then the demons, I don't know if you see them go, but one moment the pigs are over there nice and calm. The next thing they go crazy and they run across and jump off and jump into the water. That is a spooky story as I looked at it. And it was just so weird for me to try to figure these things out. Next one I'd like you to turn to, Matthew 27. And this is only a small group of all the different stories that I found. When I looked at this, I had about a Justin sermon going. I had so much that I had to cut this down. All right, Matthew 27, page 865. And you'll be familiar with this. This is the time when Jesus dies. And so earlier I talked about all the fascination with zombies. And then this is something I found that I had missed before. I had missed a long time. I missed this part when it happened. So start at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," just like that. All right? Except his made sense. That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. I missed that part all these years. These people came out of the tombs and walked into the city. There were zombies. All these TV shows now, they got that from here, I believe. All right? So now I want you to put yourself in that city. You know that something has already happened on that hill of Golgotha. They killed this Jesus guy. All right? So if you weren't among the crowd, you're sitting in the city. All this has happened. We not to mention the veil that is torn in the temple, all the things that go on, the darkness, the thunder, all that happens. And now bodies come out of the tomb. And not that they only come out of the tomb. It'd be one thing if they came out of the tomb and went to heaven, right? But now they're coming down to town. And they're walking around in town. Now, I can't find anywhere what happened to them next. All right? Maybe they waited 2,000 years so they become Day of the Living Dead or whatever. And now they're in Hollywood. But the reality is, that's a spooky story. To me, that was just one of those things that I can't believe I missed as many times as I read it, that they were out and they were walking around in heaven. The last passage I could look at today is Romans. And this, to me, as I looked at it, may be the spookiest of all. Page 980. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that speaks more than just that one verse for me. It goes a lot farther and a lot deeper than that. Because it goes all the way to the back to the fact that God knew what was happening from the very beginning. God knew from the very beginning that you'd be sitting here someday and you would need to hear about his love. God knew from the very beginning that we were going to make mistakes. God knew what I would be like and how I'd be a bad person when someone cuts out in front of me and the words I want to say and the things I think. God knew all that from the very beginning. The Bible tells us that the day when I was knit together in my mother's womb, he knew who I was. But the spookiest, most amazing thing to me is that while I was still a sinner, while I did all those things wrong, while he knew everything about me, and while God, who is perfect, cannot have any of us around him, he sent his son to die. That seems too simple. It doesn't make sense enough. It's too simple that all we have to do is we have to accept that love of Jesus. All we have to do is say, I believe. I am a sinner. I have made mistakes. I accept that gift for you that you have given to me, Jesus. That's spooky because I think sometimes we think there's all this stuff that we have to do, that we have to go to church so many times, that we have to do all that. But we're reminded of the story of the thief on the cross next to Jesus. Probably his entire life, he was just one of those outcasts, one of those bad guys, one of those sinners, one of the ones who made lots of mistakes. But hanging there on the cross, he says that he believes who Jesus is. And Jesus says, today, when you die, you will be with me in paradise. The spookiest thing for me is that Jesus loved us enough to leave heaven, be born as a baby, live a perfect life, and yet die the death that he died because of what we've done. The spooky story for me is that anybody would love me enough to send his son. Because my wife and I have 6 children, and I will tell you this. If we're in a building and it's on fire and my kids are in that room and you're in that room, I hope you get out. Because I'm getting my kids out. Now, I might come back for you, but I'm going to get my kids out. But the spooky thing for me is that that's not what God did. God says, I'll send my son to die for you because I love you so much. And so in this time of Halloween and all the things that we see and all the spooky things that are run around us, God's love is the spookiest of the spooky for me. Because I know who I am, and God still loves me. So I would tell you today that if you don't know what that feels like, if you don't know what God's love is, you can find it. And it doesn't seem like it should be right, but it is simple. It's as simple as asking Christ to come into your life, forgive your sins, clean up your life, and make you one of his children. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity today to be here. We thank you for the things that we see around us, the things that don't make sense. But Lord, we know from the very beginning you've loved us, you had a plan for us, and that you care for every person in this room. You cared so much you were willing to die. We thank you for that, Jesus. And Lord, I read some of your passages that speak to us today, and it says, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it rests satisfied. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. And Lord, I ask that you'd be with us as we go forward, that you would calm our fears, that you would show us how to love others as much as you love us, and that you would guide us in all we do. And Jesus, today we thank you for what you've done for us.